Here we go. Part 15, part 2 of number 15, put it that way. Peace, as Paul puts it forward. This is evening, July 24th. I better check. July 24th. Looking at the evening here. Part 2. Let's just keep right on going with peace. Let's go here to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We noticed that a lot of the peace when Paul is talking about peace, the risen Savior as such, it's really a peace between the Gentiles and the Jews that Christ has taken care of. He's not really always just talking about a lost person and compared to a saved Gentile. He's comparing to the Jew who's lost. Does that mean that Paul is talking about all Gentiles are saved, your brotherhood thing? Well, no, that's not true. But some people believe that, but you just read Paul's scriptures, you'll see that there's a difference there. But much of this is talked about is between the Jew and the Gentile. Okay, so 1 Corinthians chapter 16, guess I might as well go there myself. Verse 11, 16:11. I always like those kind of verses, wonder what that one says, is how I look at that. And it says, "Let no man therefore despise him." Well, let's go back to verse 10 and see who him is. "Now if Timothy has come, see that he may be with you without fear. For he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do." So Timothy's coming on the scene, and Paul says, listen, don't let that bother you. Help it so he does his job, that he may be with you without fear. Hope Timothy isn't fearful to preach this stuff to them. Now, we know today that the book of Timothy and even the book of Titus, and those two guys are going to these people. But we know that Timothy and Titus are not very welcome in people's lives today. So here we are, Timothy. Hope you guys can get into the book of Timothy and you welcome it. Verse 11, "Let no man therefore despise him." Despise who? Timothy. "But conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren." So, you know, today we have a Bible. We don't have the live body of Timothy or Titus, but we have their writings. So let no man therefore despise the book of Timothy, the book of Titus. So those two guys, like I say, are coming to him. "But conduct him forth in peace." I hope Adriana, especially as you get up to be a lady, book of Timothy and Titus is very important to your walk as a Christian lady. And I hope that you accept them. And that they would have no fear coming to you, as if they were the people. And don't despise those books. And conduct those books in your life in peace. Does that make sense? And that's 1 Corinthians 16:11. And those are probably the toughest books of all Paul's writings towards us as a walk. So, Paul says, let Timothy come to you without fear. Because he's doing the same thing I'm doing, trying to show you about the risen Savior. So don't despise him and conduct him forth in peace. Let him come into your life in peace. Same thing as the books today. Let Timothy and even Titus. And don't despise those books. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's go to that one. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. "Finally, brethren, be perfect." That doesn't mean sinningless. You know, it just means be done. Come on, be finished here. Be of good comfort. Be the Christian you should be. Be of one mind. Live in peace. Live in peace. And the only way that you can live in peace is to understand the risen Savior's teachings to Paul, to King James Bible, to us. And that's the peace that Paul is talking about. In fact, if we were to go through these, we would see that he tells us to live peaceably with all men. We talked about that this morning. Follow after all things which make for peace. We talked about that. We're all called to peace. And he's the author of peace, and we're told here to live in peace. So we're going to see here that there's a number, we have more coming, that there are references being made here that we should just live in peace. And that doesn't mean that everything's going to go right. It doesn't mean that everything's just going to be hunky-dory in your life. It just means that whatever goes on with other people and the whole thing, we're to live in peace. And if we tell somebody else in this world out there, you know, like they do, they flash them the victory sign and they say, "Peace, brethren," you know. We know that that's not what that V stands for at all. And the circle with the duck foot and bird foot and chicken foot in the middle of that thing is a peace symbol? No, that's not a peace symbol. It's an upside down cross. And the peace that the world wants us to have is a false peace. And the peace that the modern Christianity wants us to have is a give-in compromise peace, which is what leads us to the Antichrist. The peace that we have is when we look at the manner of living, Paul's manner of life, and realize we even not only have to have grace and mercy and truth and patience and kindness, etc., etc., but we're also supposed to reprove and rebuke. And sometimes avoid and no company with. And sometimes turn them over to the world. Turn them over to Satan, which we'll get to probably next week. And there's where our peace comes from. It's not that we're ignoring everything. We're having grace and mercy. But you know, there comes a time where something has to be said or done. As hard as it is. Tough love, I guess they want to call it today. But that peace involves that. Peace just isn't putting up with everything and just compromising with everything. That's keeping the truth. I'm not ashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, nor am I ashamed of Paul. But because of that, that's going to cause controversy and cause confusion in some people. It's going to cause anger in others. But if I'm doing this in the right manner as a Christian, which I'm still learning, then I should live in peace, just like he says. Be of comfort, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. So there we go again. There's that God of peace shall be with us. And we have that peace. We have the God of peace because we're looking to Paul. Next, real quick, like Galatians 5:22. Just over a couple of pages, Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruit of the Spirit, even though it's all looked at as one. But the fruit of the Spirit doesn't say fruits. It says fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And one of those was peace, even though they're all one, singular. It's part of it, is peace. So the peace we're going to have is going to be the peace from the Holy Spirit. From the King James Bible. Rightly divided. With Paul. The Risen Savior's books. Okay. Galatians chapter 6, verse 16. Galatians 6:16. And as many as walk according to this, peace be on them, and mercy and upon the Israel of God. Now, what are we talking about here? As many as walk according to this rule. What is this rule? Well, you go back to the previous verses. Verse 15 says, and for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. So we don't want to walk according to the circumcision rules. We don't want to walk according to the uncircumcision rules. That's the Old Testament, the heathen, and such. But we want to walk according to the new creature, and that's Paul's teachings. Risen Savior, new creature. And if we walk according to this rule as a Christian, we'll have peace on us. Peace beyond them and mercy. And it's really sad, but people that try to walk the Paul thing, as I would put it, don't seem to have a whole lot of peace. It's such a struggle. Yeah, because it's a struggle against our flesh. If we have any peace, it's not because we have peace in our flesh. We have peace in our trying to serve the mind of God, trying to do the right thing. And when we mess up, when we follow our flesh, we still should have peace because we realize that Paul says he had the same battles. We don't have the Spirit of God upon our flesh to have a sinningless life. So let's still have peace even when we mess up. Walk according to this rule. What's that? The rule of being a new creature. You've got to understand Paul's teachings, understand how to have that kind of a peace. These other people that looked to the Gospels for their doctrine, they looked to the Hebrews and Jude and Peter and all that stuff, the only peace that they can have is the fact that they are walking clean. Because they got to confess to get it right. And they get all stirred up and they get sad because the wonderful Pope confessed it all. And yes, we should have peace even when we mess up, if we're trying to do the right thing, of course. But Paul, even Paul, said it wasn't him that did it, but the sin that dwelleth in him. And here's all the things that Paul would write, and yet he still had peace. Let's go here to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. And here's where we see where Christ really makes peace. And how does he make peace? And who is he making peace with? He's making peace between us and Jews. Look at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. Now, you know, how can this be? Well, it says, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the commandments contained in ordinances, for to making himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. And through him, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, does that make us one with a Jew? And if that makes us one with a Jew, then all these modern Bible people think that we're supposed to be following the Jews' teachings in the Gospels, along with Paul's, along with Peter's. Because that's all Jewish teachings merged in with Paul's to the Gentiles. And I don't know why they would get that, because for one thing, they're still different. So, it's crazy. We both have access by one Spirit, but do the Jews today? Yes, if they're saved, they do. Then we are one. But it's the Jew that comes over to the Paul side and follows what the risen Savior has taught. It's not that the risen Savior's converts goes back and studies the Jewish teachings. What's wrong about telling those gospel guys to come over to the Paul side and get going on this stuff? You can't do both. He's not even asking us to do both. Anyway. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. Verse 3. Might as well look at verse 1. Therefore, again, understand chapter 3, the prisoner of the Lord beseech that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Peace is what keeps us together. Now, again, you compare that to Peter's teachings in Hebrews and Jude and James and Jude, then they're keeping together with their brethren. They have to. If they don't stay together, they lose their salvation. You can't walk in the light and hate your brother. You're walking in darkness. So we don't see it to that extent. But he does tell us to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. But that doesn't still say for us, because Paul still tells us again, there sometimes has to be reproof, rebuke, avoid, withdraw, have no company with, you know, that kind of stuff still needs to take place. And that stuff doesn't appear to be very peaceful to people. But it is. It's part of keeping the peace, as they say. But it's the bond. Keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Peace will hold it together. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. Ephesians 6, verse 15. We're going through the armor of God here, all the way from verse 11 on down. And we see in verse 15 that our feet are to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Okay, what gospel of peace? Does it mean the gospel of the peace that's talked about in the Beatitudes? Being peacekeepers, all the time he talks about peace on earth. Are we going to keep peace on earth? No, we're not. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's Paul's teachings of peace. That's the risen Savior's peace. That he didn't just declare, he made it. He made it possible. He actually took down the wall. He actually took care of the law. That's the gospel of peace. So when we tell people, you know, peace, brother, kind of a thing, I think people still don't realize that they're telling them to have a peace. You're not going to have a peaceful day. You're going to have a day that's going to be challenging, and have peace during that day, but have Paul's peace, the peace of the risen Savior. And if we tell people that, you know, peace, they're not going to know we're telling them. They're going to think that we're some kind of an earthly peacekeeper kind of a person, which would be nice if we had no wars, but it's not going to happen. I mean, here's, again, back to that reference this morning of that camp. Here's 80 people, or I guess 90-some people were killed at this camp, or whatever the total is. And there was, I guess it took the police, did I read today, for half hour, 45 minutes or something to get there? And they expect us to get rid of our guns so the police can protect us? No, my peace is kept personally is kept by with Paul and the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. That's my peace. I'll keep peace in my house with a gun, in my neighborhood if I have to. Two different kinds of peace, earthly peace and a personal soul peace. Ephesians 6, same chapter, verse 23. Peace be to the brethren. He says, peace be to the brethren. So peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father of our, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ. There's this in sincerity. Well, yeah, there's the peace among the brethren. Among our brethren, the website crowd that we should have peace amongst ourselves because we know none of us are perfect and we've got this book and Paul's teachings and we should be fine. But, you know, whatever. And then we get to Philippians chapter 4. These are my favorite ones. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, first of all, here. I guess we should do 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So there's still importance in prayer. Supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests. Talk to the. You just don't have to have a prayer meeting. You don't have to pray around the flagpole. In fact, he tells us not to, and pray with those people. And he says that, let's make your request. Talk to me. He's in us. We don't have to go to some prayer meeting or a church service to do such a thing. And if you have that kind of relationship between you and him, we'll have a peace that people just don't understand. A peace that don't people just don't understand. Again, I'll go back to this place here in 2 Corinthians. You know, troubled but not distressed, perplexed but not in despair. Some people are really upset the way things are going, and they have every right to be. They're really troubled. But most people are distressed, and it's a very difficult thing. And they don't understand how we cannot be. Sometimes they get mad at us because we have understanding, and we have peace. And we know what's going on in this world, and it's hard for our flesh to lose everything like you had to go through or Sharon has to go through. I know somebody is possibly having open heart surgery Wednesday, and why? Is it because they're a sinner? No, it's because their flesh is their flesh. And she has peace about it. So that kind of peace, people just don't understand. And it says in verse 7, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, sorry, over a little notch, Colossians 3:15, it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's a peace that passeth all understanding. Let it rule in your hearts. To the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. So that should be how our hearts should be ruled, is with peace. Grace is sufficient. Yep. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, just a few more, and we'll be done probably early tonight, but I can tell it's probably a good idea anyway. Colossians 1:20 for me. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, there's how he made this peace. By him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And that and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. So it's the blood. Still, it's just blood. The blood of his cross, it says there. May having made peace through the blood of his cross. So yes, we go back and we study the Gospels to learn about what that means, the cross, what happened on the cross. That's where you learn that stuff. But as far as doctrine being applied to us, that's through Paul. Doctrine, that's still doctrine in the Gospels, but it's not doctrine to us. I mean, the Bible's there for doctrine. Genesis to Revelation is full of doctrine. But which of that doctrine is actually directed to us? And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, this is one that I realize a lot of people just struggle with this thing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I guess it goes to verse 12 as well here. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. And so many cases that would be a pastor or a teacher or a preacher or an evangelist or whatever, you know. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Now that's different than what is said in Hebrews 13 about a pastor. Hebrews 13, 7 and 17 says that you got to obey them. Ephesians 13, 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Okay, you watch their walk. And then 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may be do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. That's the verse that pastors put over their people all over this country. And that's just not the way it is. A pastor's not concerned about your soul. Once you're saved, you're clean. And it won't get dirty. A pastor's supposed to be concerned about your daily walk because of the judgment seat of Christ that's coming up. And sure, we're concerned for the lost people. But the church is not full of lost people. It's supposed to be. It's supposed to be full of saved people being taught and edified, Ephesians chapter 4. So 7 and 17 are tribute. They're not written to pastors today. Or to the people today in obedience to their pastor. That's that pastoral authority thing. Been down that road. I followed it, and then I taught it, and then it's crazy. No, what Paul talks about is these pastor guys, these preacher guys, you know, who's teaching us this stuff, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Well, sure we should. And be at peace among yourselves. These guys are going to preach something too. I have to preach to people some things they don't want to hear and they didn't want to hear. And be at peace among yourselves. Look at what they're doing. It's their work. It's not them. It's not the person. It's their work that they're doing. And they are over you in the Lord, actually, and they admonish you. How can they be over you in the Lord? Who reads and studies and preaches more? You or the preacher guy? If you got a preacher, pastor guy that doesn't do that, then yeah, you've got a hireling, as it says in the Gospels. Guy's just out doing it for the bucks. But you know them which labor among you, and they're over you in the Lord, and they admonish you. You don't, you know, you need to be able to take that, because it's the book that he's doing. It's his work that you esteem highly, not him, but it's his work for their work's sake. And he says, be at peace among yourselves. Don't let them ruin your day. And then 1 Timothy chapter 2, we'll just kind of finish up here. 1 Timothy chapter 2. This is true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desire 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Well, oh, that's chapter 3. There we go, I'm sorry. For kings and for all that are in authority, you're to pray. And he says that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Now, the problem here is people are living a quiet and peaceable life and they're $50 million in debt because they keep buying stuff to make them happy. That's not a quiet and peaceable life. It says quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That's doing the right thing within your home gives you that quiet and peaceable life. And very, very few of us ever do that. I mean, very few, any of us ever do that sort of a thing. We don't have that quiet and peaceable life. What's going on within your home that's robbing you of that quiet and peaceable life? Is it even possible these days? I keep hearing that Paul is impractical. Well, we'll hear it until the day of the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to find out all those things that we were doing to keep us happy are just going to burn. What a waste. And then lastly, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. 2 Timothy 2, 22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. And who does it say to follow with? With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That's with the brethren. That's who we're to be with. So follow peace, but with the them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And then just for a quick tag on at the end of Hebrews chapter 12, just to show that we don't follow this kind of a peace. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. This isn't written to us. Follow peace with all men and wholeness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So there's a consequence. And if we don't follow, remember Paul says to as much as lieth within you. That's what he says. Live peaceably with all men, if it be possible. And here in the Hebrew book it says, you've got to, because if you don't, you won't see the Lord. So, and we can't go to Hebrews and Jude and Peter and John and James for advice about peace. Those Jews needed to have peace on earth, and they didn't get it because they killed their Messiah. We're not going to have peace on earth in our time because we're just not going to. We need to have peace in us. The God of peace on us, and the peace of God, the peace from God, peace with God. And that's because Christ took down the wall between us and the Jews, and His blood, He gives us that peace from within. That's what we're looking for today. We don't expect a magic Jesus to make everything fine so we can live in peace. No, we're going to have hard times, but we can have peace during those hard times. And that's what the risen Savior is all about. And Paul's teaching is about the way of peace. It's through the risen Savior. So, there you have it for tonight, folks. We're kind of early, but that finishes up the peace teaching. And so, just don't be flashing the V and telling people, peace, brethren, kind of a thing. You know, live in peace, or follow peace, or look to Paul's peace, look to the peace of the risen Savior be with you, that kind of stuff. But there's not going to be peace on this earth. And Matthew 5:9, it says, you're a child of God because you're a peacemaker. That's just a bunch of baloney. I've got a bunch of peacemakers in my room, but it's going to make an earthly peace. So, and do I have peace in my heart with them? No, because I know now that if I had to use my guns to protect myself, I'm going to be looked upon as a criminal. So you know that if you have to use them, you're not going to be comfortable anyway. So no, my peace is with my Bible and understanding Paul's teachings in the best that we can in our life today. So there you go.